Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TGC Online. We're so glad you could join us this morning. We are departing from our regular scheduled sermon on Ecclesiastes 8 and examining the statement that was recently issued by the Trinity Board of Elders with regards to racial injustice. The hyperlink has been pinned onto this Facebook video, and so if you hadn't had the chance to take a look at that statement, we invite you to do so, as this morning's sermon, will be focused primarily on this statement. You'll notice I'm wearing a suit this morning, too. It's because I have to preach in the Cantonese. I'm very uncomfortable. But all that to say, there are important things also for us to talk about this morning. Would you join me in prayer before we go into this time together? Lord, as we come to you today, we confess that we live in a broken world with broken people who have made broken systems. And we pray for your forgiveness in our apathy. We pray, Father, for your forgiveness that our hearts are often closed to the world around us. And our ultimate prayer, Father, is that our heart would reflect yours, that we would seek to be like Christ, that we would seek his face day by day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Elder Board's decision to publish the statement on racial injustice was truly a historical moment in the life of TGC. Never before has our church done anything like this and issued a statement on a social issue. In some ways, it would have been just so much easier for us to remain silent. Yet we realize that to remain silent would have done, first of all, you a great disservice as our church family, as you look towards the Elder Board for spiritual guidance and for guidance on how to think Christianly on this issue and our current events. We also do a great disservice to our God if we don't say anything, for we are called as your over-shepherds to say truth. In publishing this statement, we realize that for some of you, this statement made you very uncomfortable. The church has spoken too much about a social concern. The church should focus primarily on God's word and theology proper. And if this statement made you feel uncomfortable, I'd like to speak to you first. As mentioned in our vision statement, TGC seeks to be a community that is steadfast in truth. We remain committed to the preaching and teaching of God's word because we believe that this word is truth, and that the power of God's word will propel us to gospel mission that Christ has called us to do. Yet so many times, it is also this word that should propel us into thinking about how we can put our faith into action. This is not a book about privatizing our faith, to segregating our beliefs about who God is to only that which happens on Sundays, to that which only happens within our world. Scripture does not shy away from identifying forms of ethnocentrism when we see things only from our personal and cultural experience. Scripture describes how ethnocentrism had plagued the nations of Egypt, Persia, Rome, and how even the early church, comprised of Christ's followers, struggled with the inclusion of non-Jewish believers. We must believe that God has a reason and purpose for TGC's existence. Many of us at Trinity Grace Church either come from Chinese immigrant backgrounds, or are Asian Americans born in this country, or have spouses of Asian descent. Our diverse and unique backgrounds and stories can contribute to the work he has for us. He shaped us uniquely because there is work to do for us uniquely. And we fail in that mission if our desire to advance the kingdom is limited to overseas missions and local Chinese communities. We fail in our witness in America, in our witness in the city of Highland Park, and indeed our witness to our local neighborhoods. And we commit the same error as the Apostle Peter by finding comfort in ethnocentricity, in which Paul had rebuked him for in Galatians chapter 2. So for you, if this statement made you feel uncomfortable, I challenge you to ask yourselves why. And I pray that this statement challenges you to think about what being a witness for Jesus looks like in the United States today. It is romanticized as a free country, yet the pains and realities of systemic racism and social injustice cannot be ignored. Scripture has things to say about that, and we must listen to what God has to say. As we witness the current unrest surrounding the murder of George Floyd, we must listen to the lament of Black communities. The generations of social inequality, the police brutality, and the human dignity and privileges that have been stripped from them. And as we listen to these voices, we must ask the question, what does the gospel have to say about that? Our failure to think Christianly about the Black Lives Matter movement means that we have privatized our faith. We have bound up the gospel within the walls of our church, within the walls of our ethnicity, and we fail in our application of its truth to the world at large. This is a challenge for the Chinese immigrant church to look beyond Chinese as its field of mission and to adopt the lens of Jesus Christ as he commissioned his early disciples in Acts chapter 1:8 to go into Samaria and the ends of the world. But also, as the Apostle Paul had said in his letter to the Philippians, the gospel cannot be bound. It will continue to push us outside of our ethnicity. It will make us uncomfortable. It will challenge us in different ways. And sometimes being uncomfortable is what needs to happen. My prayer and hope for you is that this statement becomes the starting point towards thinking about how our faith can be made alive by fostering honest conversations on race and culture at TGC. How it can challenge the prejudices we have in our own heart, because no one is exempt from the issue of sin. How it can move us to greater empathy to not only the Black community, but to other forms of oppression and social injustices that have plagued this nation and this world at large, in which oftentimes, being in an affluent suburb, we close ourselves off to. In seeing the events of the world around us, many of us have asked, what can we do? What do you expect a small church to do? How is it that we can change the world? Some have decided to take political action in the form of protests or writing their state representatives or participating in forms of lobbying activity. But we can also take other forms of important steps as well, by looking within ourselves, by looking within our families and our communities, and having open and honest conversations about hard topics like race and injustice. We must not only look outside to the world for transformation, but within ourselves as well. As Kohelet said in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, again, I saw the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of the oppressed and they had no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors, there was power, and there was no one to comfort them. Now is the time for us to open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to what that voice is saying. Now is the time for us to say to the Black communities, and especially our Black brothers and sisters in the faith, we hear you, you matter, you deserve our attention. For Trinity Grace Church, I pray that George Floyd's murder would propel us towards greater empathy. Empathy towards the Black community and empathy towards all forms of social injustice that are rampant in our world today. We cannot ignore the sin of racism, systemic forms of oppression, and the hurt caused by racialized societies. We too have a part to play in this sin when we pretend that it does not exist and we fail to reflect God's heart for those who suffer at the hands of the unrighteous. There should be lament over a system. When the law is broken, some are afforded human dignity while others go to the morgue. For this too breaks the heart of God. You will see, I'm reminded of what he said in the book of Exodus, as the Israelites cried out to him for justice. God saw, he heard, and he will do something about it. Now, for those of you who read this statement, I recognize that this statement has made you uncomfortable and upset for other reasons. This statement has made you upset because it did not go far enough. I'd like the opportunity to speak to you now as well. Our intent in publishing this statement was to encourage us all to acknowledge the pain of many Black communities and to propel us towards greater understanding of the forms of social injustice that plague our nation and the world at large. Yet by failing to mention the Black community by name, we have deafened a voice that so desperately needs to be heard. In his work, The Souls of Black Folk, W.E.B. Du Bois described how Negro suffrage ended a civil war by beginning a race feud. The issue of race and oppression has been shouting since the beginning of the slave trade. It did not end in 1960, and we need to continue to listen to that voice. Our decision to not mention the Black community by name was in hopes that our church family would cultivate a heart attitude to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Our social concern cannot and should not be limited to what is trending on Twitter today and not a year from now. It should be a matter of heart transformation that we seek and love justice, that we desire to express grace. But in speaking with some of you, I recognize that however good our intentions may have been, we have unknowingly contributed to the silence in the awareness that needs to be had for Black communities. In 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. said, "We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality." This is a voice that needs to be heard with an open and prayerful heart. As a pastor and an elder of TGC, I would like to apologize and I take full responsibility for deafening that voice. As an Asian American and on our elder board, I should have known better, because America is indeed my home. Good intentions are not good enough, and what counts right now is what is heard by other people. Our goal in issuing this statement is not to advance color blindness, but to recognize the unique struggles that come with race and culture, and to see how the gospel might speak truth into every situation of life. And yet here is a helpful analogy I heard that may help us to consider why we have focused so much of our attention on the Black community and why that is necessary. I have 7 gears on my bike. When all of the 7 gears are working, I can happily assert all my gears are working. All my gears matter. But when the 5th gear slips and no longer works, I don't need to be reminded that all 7 gears matter. I need to take my bike to the shop. I need to identify the problem. I need to trust the tech to direct all of his resources towards fixing that 5th gear. Because at a time like this, it is the 5th gear and only the 5th gear that matters. It is the one that is broken. It is the one that needs fixing. It is the one that needs attention. In hindsight, there are many things I wish was worded differently in this statement. I wish more was said, but what is done is done. And the way forward is not to pretend it didn't happen, but to learn from it and to do better. But I would like to offer you a challenge as well. We must recognize that we fall on a wide spectrum of perspectives, and that our desire to bear one another's burdens and to empathize must not extend to only the Black community, but to those of differing viewpoints at TGC as well. Many second-generation Asian Americans have told me about the frustrating conversations they've had with their elders. The temptation we face as English speakers is to be exasperated, to be angered, and to disengage. And perhaps God's task for you is to help them take the next step, however small that step might be, towards recognizing the forms of injustice and hearing the lamentations of Black communities, even if it's a small step. Because we must do this humbly, knowing that we all have blind spots, and that we as Asian Americans are not exempt. In speaking to a first-generation Chinese immigrant, he asked me a series of very convicting questions. Why were not they this upset over the protests in Hong Kong? Do they not realize the great lamentations of July 6th? We can become guilty, June 6th, my apologies. We can be guilty of being selective about the social justice issues we care about based on what is trending and on our immediate radar. Qohelet reminds us that this too is vanity and striving after the wind. One of the greatest blessings of being an immigrant church is the honor and privilege to learn from our Mandarin and Cantonese brothers and sisters. And one of the greatest blessings of the English ministry in a Chinese immigrant church is the fact that our congregation is comprised of non-Chinese friends, brothers, and sisters. We widen each other's perspectives. We learn from each other. And in our current climate, we must learn together. It is irrational, and it is indeed unfair and unjust for us to be outraged at the instances of police brutality in the U.S., yet not at its instances in Hong Kong, and vice versa. We cannot fall into the temptation of our current cultural climate to lambast, to silence, and to cancel those we disagree with. We can and we must do better as the family of God. We must be sensitive on where people may fall on this spectrum, while at the same time be humble, knowing that we too are not exempt from the fallen human nature caused by sin. We too have our blind spots. And yet, as Christians, as people of the Word, we must continue to challenge each other, to refine each other, and ask, how have those perspectives been developed from what you have read? Because I have read the same thing too. And we know this is truth. We know in this book there is life. So I encourage you, be patient as we engage. Be humble, knowing that we are all sinners in need of grace. And none of us are exempt from sin. None of us are exempt from prejudice, the act of prejudging someone prior to knowing who they are. May our conviction for social justice be paired with wisdom, knowing when and how to speak so that what we say might be effective. For conviction without wisdom is just as dangerous as foolishness. That was actually supposed to be the point of today's sermon when we looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I also ask you, brothers and sisters, to be patient with Trinity Grace Church and our church leaders as well. We are all learning. I am also learning. And I thank you for learning with us. We are open to hearing from you and creating opportunities for challenging but necessary conversations. For those of you who have sent me emails, for those of you who have had hour-long conversations with me on the telephone, and yes, we still use the phone for that, I thank you because you have helped me to see something that we have not seen before. Though there are many issues with this statement, I am truly proud of Trinity Grace Church. As an Asian immigrant church, the temptation we face is to succumb to our reputation as the model minority, to keep silent, to not stir any waves. I am grateful for all my elders, my brothers, that have broken the stereotype and have called us as a church family to open our ears to hear the voice of the oppressed and to ask the question of how can we care for them. There are certainly issues with the statement as drafted, but the fact is that we need to recognize the need to speak on these important matters, and specifically injustices done to the Black community. The fact that we are able to issue a statement at all, however poorly constructed it was, I think was a step in the right direction. That does not excuse us from doing better next time. As the English ministry, we will be examining ways in which we can open up more opportunities for racial reconciliation by partnering with other local churches. We have been exploring this for some time. It has been our mission for quite a while, and we will remain committed to that mission as we seek to look beyond Chinese circles and into this world at large and asking, how can we share the heart of God? How can we express a faith that is alive, that pours itself out in good works? And if we are truly taking God's word at heart in caring for those who are most vulnerable and oppressed, we will be exploring ways in which we can expand our missions outside of Highland Park and into local communities in great need. And speaking with a friend yesterday, he told me how many of the brown communities in the city of Highwood, this is just a few miles down the street, are without resources because they haven't worked since March. I invite you to pray for us. Pray for our church. that we might strive to be more like Christ, that we would develop God's heart for justice and for grace, that this statement, warts and all, would be a catalyst towards more conversation, understanding, and ultimately, sanctification. My hope is that Trinity Grace Church would be a place where it would be safe to express what it is you truly feel. Whether you are extreme in conservatism, whether you are extreme in liberalism, it doesn't matter, because what unifies us is our commitment to being steadfast in truth, to being sacrificial in grace, and doing each other the favor of presupposing that they have good intentions. And that by transforming one another, we might sow seeds for the kingdom of God, both here in the Chinese communities and beyond, outside of our ethnicity. Would you join me in prayer as we close our time together this morning? Father, with the psalmist, we lament this morning. How long, O Lord? How long must we bear with systems of injustice? First, Lord, we confess and we repent of our callousness in deafening the voices around us, the voice of the oppressed. As Kohelet had mentioned in Ecclesiastes, there was no one to hear, there was no one to comfort. And Father, we are not exempt. We have been calloused in so many ways when we have tried to privatize our faith. And yet, Lord, our prayer today is that we might hear what the Black community is trying to say. That we would take the things we see on our social media feed, that we would take the things we see on the news and ask, what does the heart of God have to say about this? How can Scripture help me to be a minister of reconciliation? How might God use this to make His church be a witness for truth and for grace? And so, Lord, we confess that we have sinned against you and that we have sinned against one another as human beings by the things that we have done and also by the things we have left undone. God, we are sorry, and we ask, Father, for your forgiveness. We ask for the power of the transformative work of the Holy Spirit. We pray that He would help us to meditate on Christ's words. What did He have to say about the voice of oppressed? What did He have to say about justice? Lord, move us, transform us, and help us to be a church that strives to be more like you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.